Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Do you love?
What our stakes should be for Who Do You Love this year. We need some sort of season-long bet.
Care to make it interesting?
You won't co-host a full show with the Grobber.
I didn't say it that way. The Grobber or anybody else. Look, I'm only a few years away when they say Mac. How about 11 to 5?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Chicken. Yeah. Instead of chicken salad, it becomes chicken soup.
What?
Oh, that's going to be great. It's going to be perfect hosting overnights.
Oh, well, what could possibly go wrong?
It's just after 11 p.m. and joining us here on what we consider a very historic evening.
I've never met a microphone that I didn't like, and I'm willing to, you know, I'll do 24 hours if they'll let me.
No, please, no.
Let's spend the night together.
I like this kind of party.
Now I need you more than ever.
It's something, it's a newer type of situation.
You know what's mine.
They'll strike a little, oil out of the clear blue sky that none of us expect.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Seemed like a great idea at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. I've seen that sky he's talking about that leaks oil.
Yeah.
It has to, like he described the color of it, has to be that perfect sky blue, as clear and as your sky of summer. Sir, you can rely on me, sir. That's less finding oil in the sky.
Wherever you can find it.
Woo, doggy.
Man.
Yeah, I'm headed in that direction, Parkins. Hopefully I can muscle out four or five more of these years with you cats before they put me off into the overnight area, and I can be the punchline.
We'll see.
You've already achieved that one, Mac.
Now, you said it, not me. Les said I asked him towards the end, you know, how are you going to do this for a while? He says he still loves it. He's not ready to give it up anytime soon. So you're going to have to kick him off that throne.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, you just as long as he's able to do it, I hope he does it as long as he absolutely can and wants to.
Absolutely. He said he'd been doing it the majority of since 1994. He's been an overnight. It's a little hiatus at some point. But
Les Grobstein, WLS Sports at the Chicago Stadium.
That is such a long time to do overnights. The majority of 25 years doing overnight radio, that lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. It's not for everybody, and I don't know if I'd want to do it on a full-time basis. When I was a young man, I loved overnights, but it was not, you know, all the time. It was shift work in a factory, so it didn't matter to me. I loved it. You had your evenings. There's nothing you miss sports-wise. You know, if you want to enjoy the day when you got out of work, enjoy the day, go to bed at noon. Which I usually try to do. I go to bed at noon and get up at 6:30 in the evening, and that's your day.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
we're coming down the home stretch. A lot of people that we, of course, first of all, want to thank you, Danny. This has just been an absolute blast, and who knows, we might get another opportunity down the road here. Maybe you'll go at it with Mac again, and maybe you'll tank it, lose on purpose, so we can get you again.
Hey, listen, I lost the bet, but I consider myself the winner overall. Honestly, it was a true treat and pleasure to be able to do this with you. Thank you. Sometimes after I do the national show Sunday nights, I'm too tired to come in, but I'll try to make it in at least once a month if you'll have me, and I'll do an hour.
We'd
or so
love
with
to
you.
Do it, and I think the callers have made it quite clear they'd love it too. I get to hear you on the way in on Sunday nights. Get to hear you and Mac all the time during the daytime, and that's a lot of fun.
I will not be a stranger. Thank you, Les.
Herb Lawrence, Mike Chen.
There it is. I'll be back. Did I lay it on too thick there?
Just a little.
Little too thick.
Just a little, yeah.
I thought for a second that you were actually talking to Theo Epstein.
Oh, really?
There's no one quite like you, Mr. Grobstein.
Yeah,
Yeah. Bless it, Tanny.
Yeah, listening back, you're right. Laid it on a little thick there.
It's a new system I'm going to strangle Tanny with.
Oh, no. Is there it's infighting over there now?
Just the laugh track.
Oh, God. Well, at some point today, you guys will get to hear Midnight, because Herb Lawrence did 11 to 12. And then at Midnight, Studs, Adam Staszynski, sat in the chair with the new system. Oh, my God. I don't even want to play it now because it was so great.
Yeah?
Yeah. The system with the overnights and then Les piloting the ship, it was spectacular.
How is the transition going at this point?
Yeah, Chris? Give us a state of the union.
Yeah. We're switching to new audio gear, listeners, and there have been a few hiccups, as we expected.
Speaking of.
Yeah, not ideal. I mean, you know. It's just it's a lot of work, you know. It's such an overwhelming thing to begin with. Like you're starting from scratch with a lot of the stuff. So you're trying to move on from the old system, incorporate it to the new, and just get used to all the new paneling in here. And you know, it just especially today was a busy day for me because of all the clips that I pulled from the show last night. And then I come in when the show started, and a lot of them were not functioning properly. And so, you know, we talked about this yesterday. You know, it's a work in progress. So it's fine. You know, I may sound bad a couple times. So, you know, I'm secure in my abilities here that, you know, and no, it won't last for long. So it is what it is.
No, it's not you. It's change. I will say this place is going under. It's full makeover because overnights they do the construction 24 hours here. There's more construction happening overnights than there is during the day.
I know. I've gotten friendly with a couple of the construction guys. One of them showed me a secret smoking area that I'm going to have to discover later today, so I'm going to have to go outside. I'm just kidding.
You got an indoor smoking
area? Nah, guys would never do that, would they?
I don't think so, but I mean, that would have been useful 2 weeks ago when it was subarctic.
It's been useful since March.
Yeah, okay.
Or when the elevators inevitably go out again. That happened to us a couple weeks ago.
When Mac wasn't here.
Mac not be here, but that would have been, you would have had to have your little secret area.
The indoor smoke, you can't go down 9 flights of stairs and then walk back up for a cigarette.
There was an era when we used to smoke in the studio.
Man, when did that stop?
Early 90s.
Early on.
I don't know if it stopped at the Loop altogether in the early 90s, but when I came, we were still getting away with it then. I left in August of 91 to go to the Score, which didn't sign on until January of 92, but the people who owned and operated the Score in XRT were militant anti-smokers, so they didn't even like the fact that I walked out to the back door and went in the alley and had one. They were always on me about that. There was no cigarette smoking anywhere near the doorways there.
Wow.
Yeah,
in the early 90s?
Yeah, Seth Mason was just he was a militant, not smoking person. The smell of it just offended him, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, disproportionate levels.
That's interesting.
So that wasn't an option. I don't know if they continued to smoke in the Hancock building. But yeah, when you're 37 floors above Michigan Avenue on a Friday night and the sun's setting in the west and you're taking over for the Big Rock Candy Mountain on a Friday night, you got your guys, you got all your hockey guests lined up, all your college football guys who Chet doesn't want to talk to, and I'm sitting there with the feet kicked up enjoying a delicious Marlboro Light. That's living.
Hell yeah.
That's effing living, Shep.
Why not? Speaking of your hockey people, my God, your team is on fire.
Oh, goodness. Yes, the third period accepted last night. Dave wants that. If we could just done without that 3-goal lead we blew, it was an ugly third, but number 88 staking a claim to most valuable player consideration now as well as he has played. It's not regular when guys, you know, are on a team that finishes eighth or out of the playoffs, get that type of discussion, but they wouldn't be in this position with the eighth seed or flirting with the eighth seed, as they have been now for several weeks, if he didn't take that team on his shoulders and say, boys, you're coming with me. His goal that made it 4-1, the goal that chased Jimmy Howard, just when he wrists it to the to his left side coming in on the right wing, I don't like to use the word indefensible. It's like he's unblockable. No, actually,
someone could block him.
Yeah. Someone somewhere along the way is going to find a way to block him. He was unhittable last. No, they just didn't hit. It's close to it. It's just, and that's when the Red Wings said they've had enough of Jimmy Howard, and on comes Bernier, and then the Red Wings score 3 in the third, which was, I was delighted when they made it 4-3 because we had $100 on the over in the game, which was 7. So at the minimum, we're a push.
Yep.
So I'm feeling good about that.
And betting an over on a 7 total is huge.
If they would have lost in regulation or in overtime, I would have, that would have been the least enjoyable $100 I'd ever have won, because I don't bet against the Hawks, and I never will. That's the only team that connects me with being a 10-year-old in terms of my fandom. And I thought this one's going to get away. They have to get these 2 points. And they were bailed out by Cam Ward in the third period repeatedly and then some in overtime.
They are 10 of 12 now. They still are an underdog to make the playoffs somehow, just with the games in hand situation and the number of teams around them. But, man, you got to give them a lot of credit, because they took some arrows when they got rid of Q. And then Colleton didn't seem to make an impact early, and then we obviously know the Crawford situation, and now there's the Seabrook injury, and we know their age and the lack of speed on the blue line. But being carried by their offense like this, even if they are beating the bad teams and they are fortuitous with the schedule and all the other teams are losing at the same time and it's unlikely someone will backslide a little bit and it won't work out, it gives you so much optimism for next year that you can actually get back to being relevant with this core of players.
You can.
That, you know, so even if they miss, it makes the offseason more palatable. Because 3 weeks ago, I was like, listen, just get a top 2-3 pick and get an elite player in here. And this season is it's a sunk cost. It's lost.
Yes.
It's not anymore.
Dylan Strome, number 17, whom Stan Bowman acquired in the deal with Arizona a while back, has been terrific. He's 21 years old. He is a fine playmaking center who is the number 2 center the Hawks have been looking for some time, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons you feel great about how they stand for next year.
Dylan DeBrincat, too.
Yeah, DeBrincat, he did a couple of defensive lapses last night, and I think that's worth pointing out, because while the Hawks are incredibly challenged at the blue line, the defense position, it's a 200-foot game and has been for decades now in the NHL, with the speed being what it's been after the European influence changed the game and for its betterment, in my opinion, and rinks all became standard size. No more 185-foot rinks like there used to be. Everyone's playing on the big ice surface. It starts up front, and the lapses are not just defensemen who are not coming back and playing. If you notice, those odd man breaks start in the neutral zone. That's not always, that's rarely on the defensemen. That's on the forwards who aren't coming back.
Do you think that they have, like, if they still are talking about Crawford coming back, do you think if Crow gets back, it can mask some of their problems and deficiencies there?
I like that. You use mask for a verb, but they're talking about goaltenders, yeah. I have no idea what to expect from Crawford at this point. They keep talking like his return is nearing, and it's difficult for me to divorce myself, frankly, Danny, because just on a human level, I don't want him to play hockey again. I just don't. I think it's going to shorten his life.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying there's the,
and I don't know how good of a goaltender he's going to be. If this guy's walking on eggshells all the time because any bump is going to set off concussion symptoms, is that the guy you want to rely on? Cam Ward is an old goaltender who has given up some bad goals. They all do, but he has kept them afloat in bad games. The pond hockey you saw the other night, I mean, that's an example of it. And last night, the game degenerated into pond hockey, and the Wings had the man advantage half of the third period, it seemed. And Dylan Larkin, 71. Oh, that guy can play, man. That was the guy I thought the Hawks were going to have to keep. And he had a terrific night for the Red Wings. As for the broadcast, worthy of noting, Mike Tirico was just fine filling in for Doc Emrick. He obviously was at Syracuse the day Mike Emrick taught Hockey 101, because I heard a lot of Emrick in Tirico last
night.
Yeah, and it was good. And not impersonations per se, but there were at least a half dozen, you know, transitions where I said, ah, yeah, that's from the Doc file. You know, I've heard that before, now played by Vanek. And just the way he describes all of the possession changes, very Doc Emrick influence, so it was a very comfortable listen. And I think Mike's a pretty likable guy, what I know of him. So
yeah, he is, I would say, the broadcast dork in me would say, and yes, there's sure a little Syracuse bias, but he's as technically sound as a television play-by-play broadcaster as there is. Just the rules, the ins and outs, mm-hmm. the terminology, the ability to ease into different sports, different levels, pro basketball, college basketball, pro football, college football, now hockey. He's doing car racing, he did golf, Olympic hosting.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be a sport that the guy can't do.
Yeah, he's versatile, and he clearly put in a ton of homework on both teams. I didn't catch any pronunciation errors. There might have been a few I wouldn't even know. You know, I'm not going to tell you that I know the Red Wings roster up and down since they left the division. And they're bad, too, these last few years. They were on the outside looking in last year's playoffs as well. But I thought Mike was terrific. And we have a few things from last night's broadcast, one of which is a funny, but there's also a really nice assessment from Keith Jones, who I think is a terrific analyst, on why Patrick Kane has been so effective since before the first of the year, and why he has lifted the Hawks to the place where they're in right now, which is a last wild card possession team.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
You believed it a month ago.
You thought I was nuts. I did. I was crazy.
You've taken
leave of your senses, old man.
You're right. Guilty as charged. You were right. We were wrong. It's absolutely in play. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It's in play. You think it's going to happen?
I do.
You do?
I do.
I questioned the premise of that possible, and it's clearly possible.
The percentages and the projections out there had it at like 9% or something.
And
like
less.
It was
more than any sport, you can take projections with hockey and burn them.
Yeah.
Just, it's so streaky. And we're going to talk to a guy later on today, Stu Grimson, who's been doing work on NHL Network, who is on probably my favorite regular season Hawks team of all time. That was just, they had the best record in the league. They won the President's Trophy and got popped in the first round by a team that had 67 points the entire year.
It was the Minnesota North Stars, Danny.
Yeah.
In case you were curious about Mac trivia.
Thank you.
But
North Stars went on to lose to Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup final, and Mac complained the entire time about it should have been the Hawks. Well, the Hawks got their chance the next year, and they got swept.
Liam McHugh, I thought, set up a question for his analyst last night brilliantly, and I want to share that little piece of sound. You made a comment the other day about analyzing hockey and how that's something that you're getting your head around, and it's not an easy for any of us,
yeah.
I don't think. And but
I just never will want to pretend,
yeah,
you know.
You see the difference, though. Any casual fan can watch the most artful players in the game and say, man, this game looks like a different game when this guy plays it. Mario Lemieux was one of those guys. Kane is one of them. And Liam McHugh talked about that last night, and Keith Jones made a terrific response.
Patrick Kane, who just can't stop producing points and producing goals, this is hockey. It should be stressful. It doesn't look at all stressful for Patrick Kane at this point. What can anyone do against him?
Really, right now, you're at the mercy of him missing the net because he's doing everything right. And Mike showed the tape in the first period. He made all kinds of creative plays offensively, and it just felt like it was a matter of time before Patrick Kane would break through. This one started at the defensive zone, three guys on him. He finds the trailer, and it's a scoring chance for Forsling on that shot. The hand-eye coordination here, it could be a two-on-one for the Detroit Red Wings. Patrick Kane not worried about it. He knocks that out of the air. He'll take the whistle on that play. Here you'll see him calmly find the player that's sliding into the open space. Watch this pass. I mean, it's just into an area where I believe Taves can go to work in the offensive zone. Taves finds him here. Good hand-eye coordination. Banks that one off the goalpost. Involved in the third goal for Chicago by taking two Red Wings to the net before DeBrincat fires that puck with nobody watching him. And here he goes again.
And this is what he does to get his goal. He just takes a look, and snaps it far side. And I love the celebration here. Even the celebration. Celebration has cool written all over it, so it's terrific.
He didn't seem surprised by the end result.
He did not.
In that way, and why would he be when you look at this 19-game point streak for him? Points, 41 points over the 19 games, 26 assists, and the 15 goals, 37 goals on the season. Only Alexander Ovechkin has more at this point. You look at the Hawks right now being outshot in this game, 20-12. It's not going to matter in this game, but defensively, where do they need to tighten things up?
The Hawks?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no question they're going to get some help when Corey Crawford comes back.
Keith Jones was so eloquent in his assessment of God. Patrick Kane. Mike
like,
Milbury.
Where's this going? Where's this going?
He fell asleep.
That's amazing. No, the Kane
Look
stuff
at the
was
Hawks.
Great.
Defensively, where do they need to tighten things up?
The Hawks?
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that prompts me texting you guys on your private time that I'm probably driving you nuts with because I don't want to forget about it.
No, that's what the chain's for, just reminders.
Second intermission, Tanny. Find Fred Flintstone not paying attention. Who, the Hawks?
The Hawks?
Oh, yeah, them. I remember them. They were playing tonight. But Jones' great. Assessment of where you're at with Patrick Kane right now, best you could do is hope he misses the net. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It is, and I'll ask you, I'll ask Stu Grimson. I don't really know the answer to this. Does he have a shot at MVP if they miss the playoffs? If they're an 8 seed?
The Hawks?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, we're retiring Hawks. Yeah. Is that possible? Is Patrick Kane the MVP of the league?
It's unlikely. Okay. It's not impossible.
His
and
point
I don't know
incredible.
If it's unprecedented. I would think it is that a guy winning the MVP didn't make the play. I don't think that's happened.
Okay, I don't.
But I'll check.
All right.
Shep, get the Elias Shep Bureau on it.
I love the Elias Shep Bureau.
Who, the Hawks?
This hour on
Who,
the score.
Who, Patrick Kane? What?
Brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
I give a thumbs up to the producers for the lively rock and roll underneath the analysis, too. I have no idea who that was, but that was lively.
That didn't bother your...
No,
sensitive.
Was it too loud?
I thought it was too loud.
It bordered on
it
too loud for me.
Yeah, it's not any more than other stuff I hear when television networks are using B-roll, but maybe because I heard it live last night and then had to rewind one time to hear if Milbury was asleep like I thought he was. Yep, he was. Who the fuck?
Yeah, but NBC's coverage doesn't stop at football. Like, their great presentation, the audio, the video, the visuals, like, the hockey stuff is great, too.
Yeah, no, they absolutely know what they're doing in terms of putting on a big-time sporting event.
They're great.
The Zion Williamson shoe explosion leads to a ton of fun, and we'll focus there. But basketball players are taking it really seriously. I'll point it out to you next on The Score.
Larkin into Kizer, fight for it. Half of the seam, waits for it to pop free to Kizer chasing. He's in the defenseman in deep. Taves comes back with Kane, 2-on-2 against two forwards. It is Taves moving in, tries to go around half of the seam. He does. He shoots, and it is stopped in front. Back to Gustafson. Over to Kane. The Hawks win. Who else but Patrick Kane with an overtime game winner, and Chicago has won 10 of its last 12.
The Hawks?
Yeah.
Collective gasp of a city last night as Patrick Kane wins it in overtime for the Hawkers. Yep, the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks. By the way, Mac, this is exciting. The Score's NHL trade deadline coverage is sponsored by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Visit amywillsellyourhome.com.
Well, let me tell you something, too. She's going to get her money's worth. The sponsor will get absolutely every penny's worth and more, because if you've never seen the Score's NHL trade deadline room, it's at Jay Zawoski's house. And
that's
there
true.
Are a bunch of computers set up. Some of them are on hockey sites. Some of them may not be. And
always plenty of lotion.
I remember when Jay did. Yes, that too. That's what it
Jay
became.
Zalawski.
When Speaks and I were doing it, Jay said, I'm going to keep an eye on the deadline. It's supposed to be a busy day. And he sat at home in the entire 4 hours of our show. There wasn't one deal, I don't think.
It was fantastic.
That was great coverage. Yeah. He was ready, though. He was at the ready.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for games against Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. And this segment is brought to you by Subway. Order a sub directly from your sofa. Subway now delivers your favorite sub, salad, or signature wrap straight to your door. Go to subway.com/delivers to order with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available in selected areas. See subway.com/delivers for details. So I want to have the conversation about Zion and if he should stay or go, and if you've ever seen a shoe explode like that. It happened to Manu Ginobili, actually, ironically, back in 2010, 2011. But if people just dismiss this story out of hand as not being a big deal, just in my cursory glance of Twitter since it's happened, Donovan Mitchell commented on it and said, something needs to change about the NBA and NCAA. It's ridiculous that he gets exploited with all of the money around it. DeMarcus Cousins came out and said, knowing what I know now, college basketball is BS, and he didn't say BS. LeBron James was like, wow, his shoe exploded. Prayers up. Be well. Paul George said he called Nike. He's a Nike rep to ask what happened to the shoes. Like, these are the biggest names in the NBA. This is going to be the number one pick. This is a guy who's going to set a huge shoe deal, and they are absolutely worried about what the hell happened to that guy last night.
The shoes are tragic. Well, that's a little bit of an overreaction, some of that.
I agree.
Prayers up. He sprained his knee. He's going to be okay.
LeBron put that out before it had come out that it was a mild knee sprain. He was watching the game.
Yeah, LeBron would never embellish anything.
There's the number one LeBron hater.
Yeah, that's right.
Nick Shepkowski, ladies and gentlemen, from the cheap seats. That's where I like him best. If he didn't need college basketball to earn a living in the NBA, perhaps he should have skipped it, right?
Well,
did he need the Duke experience?
No, absolutely not. He didn't need it. Like, no, he did not need it. But by the rules, it's either go play college basketball where the vast majority of prospects go, or go play in Europe where Brandon Jennings tried doing that. How many other guys have actually tried to do that? Not to say that Europe doesn't bring out talent, just Americans don't go there for their age 19 year usually.
Well, I think what happens, right, because you're playing against grown-ass men and all that. I think there's a lot of things at play here. Zion Williamson didn't need college, but we didn't know that about Zion Williamson before college. He was not the consensus number one pick in the draft before he played at
Duke. Not a number one, but he would have been drafted.
Oh, 100%.
So that's it. Yeah, he made a choice to go to college and develop his skills, and it's made him more money because he's going to be the number one.
And he became a phenom. Playing at Duke.
Yes, he did.
Like, if he would have gone straight from high school to the pros, he would have been a lottery pick. He might have been a high lottery pick, and he would have gotten a shoe deal. But it would not have been the shoe deal that he's about to get.
Oh, especially now.
Well, especially
now. That exploding shoe is going to wind up being one of the best financial breaks of his young life.
Agreed. And Kevin Durant is a great example of this. Kevin Durant was the second overall pick, but he's the National Player of the Year at Texas. He signed a $60 million shoe deal as a rookie. And a big part of that was because there was questions. Remember Durant? Could he put up 175 on the bench press? He was a huge recruit. But then he was National Player of the Year at Texas, and everyone was like, oh, this guy's legit. And he got a huge shoe deal. LeBron's first shoe deal was like $90-something million. Zion Williamson has a chance to break LeBron's rookie shoe deal record, and a huge part of that is because he became this thing at Duke.
Well, and now he's cinched breaking that record after last night's mishap.
I would think.
Probably by a large percentage, I would guess.
But so I think a lot of things can be true, right? I think Zion Williamson should not have to go to college. He should be able to make a choice to pursue employment in the NBA level.
Right.
I think the one and done should be gone.
It's fair commerce, I believe.
Well, correct, right? If he's old enough to join the military, he should be old enough to go to the NBA if someone wants to pay him a job, right? It's not football. It's not a question of underdeveloped bodies. We've seen Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. We've seen plenty of guys go from high school to the NBA and succeed. We should be able to that should be allowed to do. But if the current system is in place, I think it's also pretty clear that the best place for Zion Williamson was college. Because even though he didn't make a few million bucks playing in Europe, or he didn't make the 100K playing in the D League, like people are talking about, maybe you could eschew, you could forego college, but not go straight to the league and play in the D League. There's been talks about figuring out a way to do that. The exposure of playing at Duke for Zion Williamson has been worth mid eight figures minimum.
That's probably true.
And now, I am super anti-NCAA and think these kids are corrupt, but I actually don't think the best athletes are the best examples of it. I think it's the really good second-tier guys. The kids who, you know, there's not a great example necessarily around here, but because Northwestern's not a huge marketing opportunity. But if you're the quarterback at Notre Dame and you're not a pro prospect, there's enough Notre Dame fans that you could get a car dealership deal in South Bend, Indiana, and drive a truck and have them pay you to do appearances. Or you could probably make a couple hundred grand at autograph signings just for diehard Notre Dame fans. So even like
after your career.
But what I'm saying is it should be able to happen for your during your college career.
I would agree with that.
You should be able to profit off of your own, like, because for all
ways guys have been trying to circumvent that since the 50s when Heisman Trophy potential winners were getting leases on cars for $1 a year.
Correct. and then it leads to really shady stuff. And there will probably always be shady stuff in and around the idea of amateur athletics. But for a lot of college athletes, actually, their best revenue years are when they're in college. Because how many guys do we know that are good college athletes, but they'll never be pros, but they play at a good enough school where it's like, yeah, they could get $100K to sign autographs, do a local television commercial, and get a free car. And so the fact that they're denied that opportunity while their popularity is huge is bad. So
it's nothing shy of restraint of trade.
Correct.
Is what it is. It's not right, and it never has been, but that's the system under which we're operating still.
Correct. So to me, that's the Zion Williamson, to me, is actually not the best example of how exploitive the NCAA is. Because he is going to absolutely make that money back. Now, he should be a pro, and he should be able to sign autographs, and he'd make more than the quarterback at Notre Dame who's not going to go to the pros, but he's going to make that money. It's those second-tier guys who peak in college, who play for big programs that have huge fan bases. Those are the guys that
I agree with that. That's well-constructed on your part, young man.
The question now is Zion Williamson a big enough athlete? And are we close enough to a tipping point on all of this where even if he isn't the best example, he will be the thing that leads to some sort of change? Because that was crazy last night. If he would have blown out his knee in a game that President Obama was sitting courtside, people paid 10 grand a ticket for, you know what I mean? And all of these NBA stars are weighing in and shoe brands are weighing in and it's a Nike school. Like that was a crazy circumstance of events for that to happen 33 seconds into the game. That is a legitimately huge story for amateur athletics and the shoe game, which is a bigger deal in basketball than it is obviously in all of the other sports combined.
Yeah,
that's the shoe culture of the NBA is a huge deal.
That's a little bitty arena they play in too, is it not?
Oh yeah,
it's fewer than 10,000, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and they're paying how much a ticket? You said $2,500 yesterday
to sit in the back row. It was a $2,500 get in.
How do you feel
Obama
about that?
Yeah.
Obama.
People who weren't even finished texting their friends, hey, I'm at the Duke North Carolina game, and then his shoe blows out and he's done for the night. Money well spent.
Texter says AJ McCarron would be a good example. Yeah. AJ McCarron's made some money in the NFL, but he could have made for his multiple years he could have made six figures easy. From endorsements and his likeness at Alabama.
Well, this is an opportunity for something else to meet the microscope, which it should have done a long time ago, and hopefully change is effective. Sometimes it takes a long time for archaic ways of thinking to be moved in a more appropriate direction for everybody, and good news arrives this week for those who like to gamble on college and pro sports in the state of Illinois. And very soon you won't have to do it illegally. And while he's at it, the new governor has decided to make recreational marijuana use okay.
Yeah, so my few...
Thank you!
The few things I do that are illegal are now going to be legal. It's great. Everything's coming up me. It's amazing.
I'm happy for your generation. I really am, man. All those years of thinking that just one little mishap is going to wind up screwing you over for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. If you know what I mean.
If you know, I do know what you mean, Mr. Musburger.
I think I do. More audio from the experience with Les. We'll hear from you at 312-644-6767. And we'll ask the unfair question of what Zion Williamson should do if he should ever play again at Duke. It's Mac and Park. It's on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I think he's locked up the biggest shoe deal. I think he's definitely going to be the number one pick. I mean, I think he's done enough for basketball, college basketball, that it's more about him personally now. And I think for him as a young player that I would shut it down.
Now, let me
you ask you would stop playing.
Let me ask you this, though, Scotty.
I would stop playing because I feel that he could risk a major injury that could really hurt his career.
Prescient from Scottie Pippen weeks ago on The Jump with Rachel Nichols on ESPN.
Put me down for a plus one on that opinion.
It's not normally the basketball culture. Those guys play year-round. They play pickup. It's very rare for there to be career-ending injuries, career-altering injuries even in basketball. It's just so different than football that I don't normally go there. I go there all the time in football. You know, I am conservative. Preseason, bowl games. I'm shocked the kids haven't sat out the college football playoff yet, frankly, even though those are the biggest games. Like, I think that'll come before too long. And I think it actually could happen at Clemson because they got this kid, Trevor Lawrence, who is basically locked into being the number one pick 2 years from now, but he's got to play another two seasons of college football.
But he's indestructible, so he'd never get hurt.
Yeah, and that's how a lot of them think, and he's still playing pickup ball.
That's what I mean. And it can happen anywhere. It can happen just stepping off of a city bus, too, if you want to get right down to it. But when it comes to basketball, I'm not taking that chance.
Okay. He's
got nothing to gain other than a piece of a net that he might cut down from a rim if they win the national title. That's all he's got to gain.
But people will say, basketball players who will play college basketball will say that's one of the greatest times of their life. Playing in a Final Four, playing for a national championship. Michael Jordan, part of his legend is that he hit a game winner in college for North Carolina. Not the biggest part of his legend, but it's something that Jordan has that LeBron doesn't have. You know, it is part of it. Winning a national championship at Duke, it's another place where you can be a legend. And he chose to go to Duke, where he goes into the NBA, he will be drafted to, so he won't have the power over that. So there's something, too. He was recruited by North Carolina and Louisville and Syracuse and South Carolina, and he chose to go to Duke. And if he goes there for 1 year and wins a title, he can always go back there as a legend. He'll be able to go back and be well-received now, but it's different if you go back to a school like that as a champion.
I appreciate the spirit of wanting to be with your teammates. And we started this thing back in the fall when we were in camp. And let's finish it. And those are going to be memories for those who are lucky enough to participate in that for the rest of your lives. But memories do not ensure generational wealth. And if you're looking at the easy number one pick, that's where he's going to wind up going. To me, it's not even a debate.
Yeah.
It's okay, I've seen a taste of what an injury now looks like or feels like. What in the world do I have to gain by finishing this season? I am nuts to not pack myself in mothballs and show up in New York in June for the draft.
And that's the thing that we just don't have the information. Like, if it was, you know, they play Syracuse on Saturday. If a doctor said, you're 100% fine for Saturday, I think it'd be kind of crazy and against how most basketball players operate to shut it down. But if it's a 2 to 4 week injury, and then you're like, is he going to come back for the tournament and there is some structural damage and all that, then yeah, shut it down. And the truth is, whatever he wants to do, he's the number one pick either way. Given that he didn't blow out his ACL and he's not going to miss any time next year, he's the number one pick either way. So it's not going to hurt his draft stock and his monetary accomplishments. So if he wants to play, play. If he doesn't want to play, don't play. It's his decision.
I read the insurance policy he possesses is $8 million, I believe.
Oh, I didn't see that
story,
actually.
Yeah, he's got an $8 million sure protection, yeah. Which, it is a lot of money. But it isn't. That's going to be a day's pay, Gordon Gekko.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
On my brain. Shut it down. There's nothing left to prove. Support your teammates when you get to the tournament. I got too much at risk here. I love different sport, but I love what Jalen Smith of the Cowboys has been able to do since he came back. He participated in a meaningless bowl game, but it meant something to him to be with his teammates, and he got his knee completely blown out, ACL, MCL, PCL reconstruction, and he's come back with a fervor, and is one of the better young linebackers in the NFC this past year. And I am so happy for him that it didn't become a huge obstacle in his earning potential.
It's an amazing story, but you said it on the front end. It's absolutely true. It's such a different sport in terms of injury risk. And basketball players, the risk of re-injury, I know we're all scarred by Derrick Rose, but it's not the same.
Yeah, but knees are funny, man.
I mean,
that's not the contact necessarily. It's just the odd pivoting on it, and the weirdest thing can cause ACLs to tear.
But that, like, the shoe exploded. That was clearly freakish.
Yes, it was a malfunction of the shoe.
So that, to me, is the thing that he's going to be the number one pick. He's going to get the shoe deal. Now, if he came back in 3 weeks and then tore his ACL.
Yeah, then he gets the cane deal.
That could change things.
The wheelabout deal.
But assuming there isn't another injury, I really don't think he's risking anything by playing, other than the next injury.
That's enough to be risking something significant, isn't it?
I guess, but when it was that.
You guess?
When it was that fluky. Is all I'm saying.
Maybe next time it won't be so fluky. Maybe he'll be that kid from Louisville who got shredded in the tournament a few years ago.
Yeah, he wasn't a blue chip prospect. I mean, Kenyon Martin blew out his knee, still the number one pick. Kyrie Irving played a quarter of a season at Duke, still the number one pick. Joel Embiid, huge injury question marks, very limited experience, third overall pick. I just, after watching this college basketball season, I don't really see a scenario. I think that if Zion Williamson would have torn his ACL last night, I think he's still the number one pick.
Well, let me, you know, and I'm not trying to pick a fight.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What's the difference between the Clemson defensive lineman playing rec league and
quarterback?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Or Zion Williamson playing basketball? You don't want the Clemson kid playing basketball, right? Is that what you said the other day?
I think for a quarterback, given all the exposure that he has to injury and that he is still 2 years away from his earning potential, risking injury in a non-football sport. It's like your argument of a pitcher playing left field. That's not his main vocation,
right?
So, okay. and there's abs- right. and there's
so
no
there's
stakes.
Some logic to it.
Well,
okay.
there's also no glory attached to intramural basketball. There is a Final Four, a most outstanding player, a national championship, and being a legend at Duke for basketball. It's Zion Williamson's a basketball player. Trevor Lawrence is a football player. Trevor Lawrence playing rec league basketball with regular students.
Yeah, rec
who
league
are
basketball.
Him.
Yeah, you can get blown out in rec league basketball. You can get your knee blown out or rupture an Achilles playing for Duke as well. It's just it's all basketball, and injuries, while not as common as they are in football and often not as traumatic, certainly are possible.
Of course it's
risk
possible.
Risk reduction, man.
Of course it's I'm just saying these guys play basketball year round. There's videos that pop up all the time. They have group texts to meet up, and Russell Westbrook organizes a game in California. Mm-hmm. Kyrie will show up at Rucker Park.
Their craft. I get it.
It's a different thing. You don't see football players playing flag football in the offseason. And it's because of the injury risk, right? And you don't play tackle football in the offseason because of the injury risk. Basketball, LeBron, they do three workouts a day. Two of them are on the basketball floor. One of them's in the weight room. It's not a sport that has catastrophic injuries in the same way as football. And so I think Zion's just an outlier. I really do. I think he's an outlier with the NCAA. I think he's an outlier with money. And I think he might be an outlier as a physical freak of nature. That was a crazy thing that happened last night that I've seen one other time in my entire life watching basketball. And it happened with someone who could not be more different athletically than Zion Williamson.
Little immobile.
It happened to Manu Ginobili. Go watch that video of Manu Ginobili's shoe just falling. I really think he just blew a tire. It was a faulty shoe. He planted wrong. Freak thing, and it'll never happen again.
So does this mean that Zion's going to get drafted by the Spurs and then swat a bat out of midair like Manu did too?
That would be a great career.
The only person I've ever seen do that.
That's true. The Batman, Manu Ginobili. We got a story hit close to home for me that's in the news. Stu Grimson will talk some hockey coming up, and we're normally going to be doing Dan Landers at 3 o'clock on Thursday, or at least we will do it again, but I know we're going to do some different stuff this week coming up. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.